So here's the idea. What we want to begin with is Hilchos Borer. Borer, very, very broadly refers to separating items on Shabbos. We probably have some measure of familiarity with this malacha as a malacha. Not necessarily with some of the particulars that we're going to discuss tonight. Or that you may actually have encountered them, but not necessarily know either what to do or why we do it. So I would like to give a brief introduction into some of the qualifications of Borer, and then drill down into what is really tonight's topic, and we'll try to do like a subtopic of Borer until we finish the Malacha in its entirety, however many weeks that'll take. But specifically focusing tonight on the idea of separating the good from the good. Usually, when we think about Borer, the notion of selecting, the notion of sorting, even in a non-halachic capacity, usually means there's something that I want and there's something that I don't want, and I'm pulling the two apart. Question is, what if there isn't anything that, at least from an objective point of view, can be defined as being unwanted or not desired, or you know, refuse as compared to actual food? Where does that put me with respect to the actual act or the actual malacha of Borer? Three very basic qualifications. I even gave a footnote in case anybody wants to check it out. We may well have heard this a number of times. The Mishnah Berurah does a very, very concise sort of read on these three qualifications in his Hakdama, his introduction to Simin Shin Yud Tes, which is where Borer actually occurs. Three qualifications. Anybody, what are they? You know what they are? Three qualifications for what makes Borer mutter. When is Borer acceptable? If I abide by three different qualifications, really, all three.
Good from the bad.
Good from the bad is one of them. It's got to be good from bad. It has to be, we say, ochel mitoch psoles. Needs to be that what I'm removing is the good. We're all going to have to say these words at some point. You know, when I was a kid, watermelons had seeds. So that was always the classic, the watermelons changed? Don't ask, it happened. Israel's responsible. So that was always like the classic example. Pulling the seeds out of watermelon was always the vintage example of what would not be acceptable Borer, because effectively you're removing bad from good as opposed to good from bad. That's number one. Good from bad is required in order to make that mode of selection permissible. What else?
Immediate use.
Miyad. Immediate use. It has to be for right now. What does right now mean? What does right now mean? Right now. So what? Part of what makes this malacha in particular so much more confounding than any of the others is that so many of the items that we need in order to make it mutter, so many of the qualifications that are required in order to say that this is an acceptable form of borer are ill-defined. What does it mean to separate something for immediate use? What's immediate? Now-ish. So, at least as a starting point, I'll tell you what's not right now. This would be a good example, at least a good starting point. You have a bunch of whatever the borer is going to entail, but you're trying to sort out one item from another item, or one item from a collection of other items, and you need that for Shabbos lunch. Distinction between doing it before shul and after shul. Doing it before shul, because I know that later on in the afternoon, this is what I'm going to need to have for the se'uda. That is definitely not miyad. That's definitely not for immediate use. Doing so after shul, in the throes of, like when we're eating. We're eating as soon as everything's done, basically. It takes a while to rally the troops and to make sure that all the company's here and that we're really ready to sit down. It doesn't mean that I have to literally be ready to put it in my mouth at this moment. But it means that I am like en route to actually eating. Again, a half hour-ish, more or less. I don't want to spend too much time on that because it's not really the qualification of the evening. But what's the last one? So what do we have so far? Ochel mitoch psoles, separating food from refuse or good from bad, number one. Number two is that it be done for immediate use. And final factor, final necessary qualification? Biyad, very good. Yeah, yeah, biyad. Has to be done with your hand. What do we mean when it has to be done with your hand? You know, like basically it has to be done with your hand or like an extension of your hand. So the way that we usually talk about it, although even this is not necessarily so fair, is that it needs to be your hand or a handheld item that is not a tool that is a specialty separation, you know, implement of separation. Most easy example, a colander. A colander would be problematic. That's definitely not your hand, right? You're definitely not using your hand as the means of separation if you're throwing, let's say, let's come up with a good example. I don't know, let's just
beans out of a can.
Go back to the what?
Beans out of a can in a colander, like draining them?
Beans out of a can in a colander, yeah. Yeah, okay, we can go there. Yeah, let's say, corn, yeah, all right, corn out of a can. Yeah, corn out of a can or beans out of a can in a colander. Okay, good, yeah, let's say that.
It'll be problematic anyway, because the first...
In a few weeks, we'll talk about whether or not that's true, and whether, right, is that a can, we'll get to, you know, it's a shen a few years from now. we'll get there. Yeah, but yeah, but it's a great example. Okay? Right, liquid with the solid, let's assume that that's a mixture, probably is a mixture. Talk about that probably in a couple of weeks from now. But yeah, using a colander to be able to separate the two out, even though I'm using it to extract, let's say, the good, the fact that everything else is going to run off, that would be problematic. That would be an issue. Why? So where do we come up with this? As, I don't know, as far back as I was ever learning Hilchos Shabbos, or maybe Miyad, Biyad, Ochel Mitoch Psoles. And it's so convenient that like Miyad sounds like Biyad, and you just, Miyad, Biyad, Ochel Mitoch Psoles, and just rolls up the tongue and everybody knows it. Why? Why? Why does that make something mutter? I'm still separating. There's still good and there's bad, and I'm separating one from the other. Why does that create such a fundamental distinction in terms of the activity that it goes from being something that is absolutely prohibited? It's an Isser d'Oraisa, it's Malacha on Shabbos. This is what they did in the basement. Like, it's terrible. Skila, horrible. Two, this is totally mutter and this is totally acceptable. What happened? What changed? So what changed is the concept of meleches machsheves, effectively. Meleches machsheves means, in a whittled down version, that what is being done is something that is an act of constructive labor, such that would have been employed for the construction of the Mishkan. That's a mouthful. But meaning to say as follows. Basic behaviors or basic acts that are just expressions of human functioning and human existence are not considered to be malacha. It is forbidden to grind on Shabbos. When I chew, I grind. So why is chewing mutter on Shabbos? Not because, you're right, it should really be usher, but like pikuach nefesh. I don't know, pikuach nefesh. Everybody said we do a lot of crazy things. If you threw onto the list liquid only diet for Shabbos, I don't know. We'd get used to it and we'd grow accustomed to it and we'd explain it and we'd say and we'd add, you know, we'd have to respond to people. Well, Shabbos, you know, basically we're Amish and we also only drink liquid, and we'd get by and it would be understood and it would be whatever, and we'd move on. It's more than that. It's that eating cannot be malacha. Eating cannot be malacha because eating is just a function of human experience, human existence, basic human functioning. It cannot be an actual malacha. That's not an act. You didn't do anything. You're just living. You're just going about your business. Cannot be that if you're eating and eating in the way that people usually eat, that anybody could possibly consider that to be malacha. Therefore, when it comes to borer, if I am sorting or separating in a way that everybody would automatically include in the normal course of eating food, then that can't be considered borer. So, for example, if I want to eat grapes, I want to eat grapes. So you got grapes and you got stems. So is it usher for me to eat grapes on Shabbos? Because I cannot pry the grape off this. How would that be? It's impossible. It's just the eating. You didn't do anything. You're just eating. You're just living like a regular person. So pulling a grape off of a stem, even though I might be separating a good item from bad, that can't be. So now, let's drill down. Let's define then what just took place. What took place is that, well, you didn't pull bad away from good. You weren't trying to like prepare food for later use. You're just trying to pop a grape in your mouth now, pulling the grape, the good, away from the bad. That should all be permissible. You didn't employ a kli. You didn't employ a tool or a utensil. It's for immediate use, and it was also good from bad. That is eating. That's eating. So that even if that arrangement is created in another environment where I'm not really eating anything right now, but I'm going to be eating something in, let's say, 10 or 20 minutes from now, as long as it's sort of adjacent to my sa'uda that I'm going to eat, that would also be acceptable. All background, very important background. These are the three items that we need to know are present if boer, if separating, sorting, is going to be mutter. Here's what becomes challenging. So we spoke about ochel mitoch psolas, which is the classic formulation. This is how we speak about it. Removing good from bad. What if there is no bad? What if there is no bad? What if there's only good? And that's really what I want to talk about in general tonight. What happens if you have only good that's being separated from other good? Is that still problematic? So example. Let's talk about a clear example, right, where you have certainly good from bad. This is getting involved in another potential malacha, but salad with salad dressing. Salad dressing is, among other things, it's whatever it is, olive oil and lemon, and there's a lemon seed. There's a lemon seed sitting, amongst the like lettuce and tomatoes and cucumbers and whatever else. Pulling out the lemon seed, mutter or usser? Definitely usser. Psoles mitoch ochel. You're removing objective bad from objective good. If this is absolute inedible refuse that you're pulling out of completely edible salad, for sure an act of borer. Great. So let's do this. This happens every now and again. Candy dish comes out to the table. And it's ransacked. It's ransacked. These poor children have never seen candy before in their entire lives. This is a complete chiddush. It's to their delight. It looks great. What is these strange items that have come to the table? And the next thing you know, by the time it winds up down at your end of the table, it's not those perfectly aligned compartments that once were, and instead there's chocolate in with the gummies, and there's gummies in with the chocolate, and I'm a gummy guy, and I don't want the chocolate's great, chocolate's good, chocolate covered pretzels, the malt balls, it's all good, but first and foremost I want the gummies, and I got these pesky chocolates sitting in the middle of it, removing the chocolates in order to get to the gummies. They're both good. It's good from good. It's not good from bad. So problem yes, problem no. Okay, not okay. I want the gummy worms. I either want the gummy bears and there are chocolates. I want to get rid of the chocolates in order to get to the gummies. Okay or not okay?
Well, that's a person. Right?
So subjectively, I think that I feel like it's, I don't want it. The what?
It's
other neshama. I have it's a machlokas between my neshama and my neshama Yisera. Okay, who's going to win out? Okay, but meaning to say that we shouldn't necessarily define psoles, what we're talking about is refuse, as actual purely refuse. It's not only grape stems and lemon seeds. It should be anything that I don't presently want right now. So this may, many poskim understand this as being a machlokas rishonim, actually between Tosos and the Rambam. And this is like a little bit of lumdus, but I think it's worthwhile for understanding some of the practical issues at hand. So as follows, Tosas says, Natalie, exactly what you said, that when you have two different types of ochel right in front of you, I want one, I don't want the other, don't tell me that they're both ochel. Don't tell me that because I really enjoy both of them, it's not an act of separation. I'm not separating good from bad. I'm separating good from good. And that's not what we're talking about when we talk about borer. When we talk about the malach of borer, what we mean is separating good from bad, not separating good from good. Therefore, this should all be mutter. Absolutely not. Because the moment you determine that I want this and I don't want this, guess what that other item became? Even though it's completely edible and delicious, just became psoas. It just became that inedible. It just became the refuse. So saying that I'm going to pull that item which I don't want away is effectively sorting out the psoles, sorting out the waste from the ochel. The Rambam seems to say something else. which is that no, neither one is psoles. I cannot take something edible and delicious that I would ordinarily eat, that I may well eat in 10 minutes from now, as soon as there are no more gummies left to be had. And even though I told myself that it'll just be the gummies, but then the chocolate just sitting there looks so terribly lonely without the gummies. So, you know, just, yeah, my grandmother used to say, I'm just straining it out. Yeah. So the Rambam seems to say, at least many assume that this is what the Rambam is saying, is that that is its own malacha. I don't need psoles to be present in order to violate the malacha of borer. See the distinction? Tosfos says that in order for borer to be accomplished, in order for borer to be violated, you need one serving as ochel and one serving as psoles, and you need to separate the two. You have to label one as food and one as refuse, otherwise it's really not an act of borer. No problem. I'll say that it's subjective. Whichever one you want is ochel, whichever one you don't want is psoles. What you want is food, what you don't want is refuse. It's still an act of borer. The Rambam says you don't have to bother. You don't have to bother. Call one ochel, call the other ochel. Call this one food, call the other one food. The act of separating two foods from one another is also an act of borer. So that really, according to the Rambam, there are two different types of borer. There is a borer in which I'm separating good from bad. There's also a borer where I'm separating good from good. Sounds like a lot of highfalutin semantics. What difference does it make? So it might make a couple of differences. Let's talk about the case that we just had. So I have chocolates in my gummies. Rachmana litzlan. What can we do about that? I want to get rid of the chocolates. I want to get them out of the gummies. So according to Tosfos, it's all subjective. It's all subjective. If I want to remove something, call it psoles. So what would we call waste, what we call refuse here? Chocolate. Chocolate. I don't want the chocolates. I'm getting rid of the chocolate. That's considered refuse. It's an act of borer.
But then you're taking gummies. You're taking the good out of the bad.
Afterward. Meaning I'm saying, you know, it's all a tarobes, it's all a mix. And I want to have just a pure, unfettered collection of gummies. It's Shabbos, after all. That's how things should be. And I want to remove the chocolates in order to get to the gummies. Granted, if I just pried the gummies out from underneath the chocolates, that would be acceptable. That's not what I want to do. I want to get rid of this. Would that be problematic? Tosfos would say, yes, it's absolutely an act of borer. It's not just grape stems and it's not just lemon seeds. It's chocolates. If you don't want chocolates right now, then that's considered an act of removal of psoles from ochel. Totally us on Shabbos. It's an absolute malach on Shabbos. What would the Rambam say? What would the Rambam say? The Rambam would say that if you separate two items from one another, that still has the potential to be borer. But remember, this is for immediate use. This is for right now. If I'm doing this for right now, and I want to eat it right now, then that might not be a problem at all. When is it a problem to separate two foods from one another? When you're separating them from one another, either and I'm using a kli to do so, or that I'm separating them from one another for later on. There's a trick-or-treat-esque, you know, bag of candy, in the grocery, just a complete amalgam, all these different kinds of candies, that it's like the, you know, it's the Shalach Manos, like, pool, right? And great, that's a candy platter waiting to happen. You just have to, like, sort and separate everything out. So it's all ochel. It's all good. Well, the Rambam says that that's problematic. It depends on when you're doing it. If you're doing it in the morning, then that's a problem because it's not for immediate use. But if I'm doing it for right now, it's miyad, I'm not really separating psoles from ochel, that should actually be acceptable. So that becomes a major, major distinction. Is it permissible to, let's say, sort out different items for right now? According to Tosfos, the moment you discard one as being unwanted, because I'm trying to get to something else, I'm trying to get to the bottom of the candy dish, and these things are in my way, I've just basically said I've cast the label of psoles on that unwanted item. According to the Rambam, no, it's all food. Is it a problem to separate food if it's for later on? Yes. Is it a problem to separate food if you're separating it, you know, mechanically? I don't mean mechanically with anything like electronic, but mechanically as in with a kli or with a tool? Yes, that's a problem. But to do it by hand and to do it for right now, that's just eating. You're just separating good from good. It should all be acceptable.
Would that only be if you're separating, but you're going to eat both of them now? If you're separating them and you're not planning to eat the chocolate.
But I'm never really removing psoles. Because I'm never removing psoles, this only becomes, the malacha only rears its head, even though what I'm actually removing is what Tosfos would call psoles. The Rambam says, that's not called, how can you call it psoles? It's delicious. Everybody eats chocolate. Even I'm going to eat chocolate as soon as I reach my moment of, you know, desperation. And, you know, 5 minutes from now, after I'm done with the gummies.
Even if you intend to, let's say you're allergic to chocolate. So you know you're not going to eat it.
If you're allergic...
Someone else at the table might eat it.
Oh, so that will kind of touch on a little bit. Would that change things for the Rambam? I don't think so.
So meaning
ochel is
okay.
Ochel. Ochel is ochel. Would it make a difference
one
if it's...
of them right now?
I believe so. Would it make a difference if I absolutely can't have it? It might... I don't know that it would according to the Rambam, though. Practically speaking, it does, but I don't know that would be true according to the Rambam. So that would be one. Who do we paskin like?
Rambam.
We want to paskin like Rambam. We would love to paskin like Rambam. Life would be so much simpler. By the way, it happens to be so the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam. Part of the question is this really what the Rambam says? Right, so some read this into the Rambam, others say that no, really the Rambam is basically saying like those, this becomes its whole thing, this becomes very, very complicated if you're following the Shulchan Aruch, if you're Sephardic and following the Shulchan Aruch, it becomes a little bit more complicated. If you're Ashkenazic, it is less complicated but more onerous. We paskin like Tosos. The Ramah clearly paskins like Tosos. Other Rishonim as well, like the Rush, effectively holds the same thing, that we consider ochel psoles to be subjective terms, not objective terms. If I don't want this right now and I remove it, that was an act of removing psoles from ochel. It is aser. Here's another one. The truth is the example that I gave you before about the big bag of candy is probably a little bit different and cuts more along the following lines. Let's say big bag of jelly bellies and I want to separate them by, you know, color, flavor, whatever. I want them to be separate. I want them to be distinct, and that's how I want to serve them. So I separate them into, the blueberries, raspberries, and whatever, all separate and all distinct. Not for now, but for later. Okay or not okay, according to the Rambam. Okay or not okay. Separate different colors, different flavors of jelly bellies for later on. I'm doing it before shul for after shul.
No.
Not okay, because separating food from food is still problematic if it's not for right away. Here's what's wild. Tosos may become flipped. Why? Tosos says it's subjective. When is it subjective? It's subjective when I'm saying I don't want this chocolate, I want this gummy. What if I'm not saying I don't want this at all, and I'm not saying I want this at all? I'm just trying to separate. Why am I separating? Because I have OCD. I'm separating because I can't bear the thought of serving blue jelly beans alongside pink ones or alongside red ones. So I just want them to be separate. And it could be just nice, just, you know, proper and nice and neat, and everything should be in its place, and everything, and that's how things should be. So is that a problem? Am I really even subjectively now saying that any one of those is actually psoles? Maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe yes, maybe no. A similar example, silverware. Silverware, big pile of silverware, and I want to get rid of it. I just want to put it in the drawer. I don't need it. I don't need it for the suit. I just want it off the counter. I want to put it back in the drawer. So I sort it. Forks, knives, spoons, everything where they should go. Am I saying that I do want this and I don't want that and I don't want that and I do want that? I don't want any of them. I don't not want any of them. It's just that they have their mukkah. They have their place. Knives should go where the knives should go, and the forks should go where the forks should go, and the spoons should go where the spoons should go, and never the twain shall meet. Yeah, so is that a problem? May well be, according to Tosos, that it's not a problem. Because I'm not saying that any one of these items is psoles or anyone is ochel. I just want them separate. I just want them gone. So that's really just all in theory anyway. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that even according to Tosos, this would be problematic. And this is important for just drilling down how specific we are. Even if in the moment I'm not saying that I want this as opposed to this, I just want them sorted. It's not that I dafka want the knife right now or I dafka want the fork right now. It's not that I dafka want blueberry jelly bellies or raspberry jelly bellies. I don't want or not want either one. I just don't want them next to one another. I just want them separated. The moment you pick one up because you have some interest in this, if only that I have an interest that this be in this bowl. I have an interest that this knife be in the knife slot. I have an interest that this fork be in the fork slot. That is saying that one is ochel and one is psoles. That's saying that this is the one that I want and the rest of the ones I don't want. Even just in that brief moment, that nanosecond of a decision, I'm saying one is ochel, one is psoles. And if I've either done it in reverse or it's not for immediate use, I'm putting the silverware away just so that it's out of the way for later, but not really for this seuda right now, where I'm just setting up the jelly beans that they'll be ready for dessert in 3 hours from now. That would still be an act of bohur, still be highly, highly problematic. This is how we paskin. This is how far it goes.
But if it was for immediate use,
it would be mutter. It would be okay. Certainly mutter. Absolutely.
So it's not the ochel from the psoles that's problematic. It's the miyad.
Correct. In that instance, why am I picking up the blue one? I want the blue one over here. I want the red one over there. I want the fork in its spot, and I want the knife. And it's not for miyad. It's not for, so that is all from the dope
silverware. Mixed silverware, okay? And now it's right before lunch, and you want to put it out in piles. You're doing buffet, so you want all the forks here, all the knives here, all the spoons there.
Yeah, if you pull them
for
out.
For that meal. Can I separate them?
Yes, if you pull them out in that manner, and it's right before. Right.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're set up, separating the jelly beans to put on the table now for dessert.
Correct, right.
Then you
could
do it.
Right. Right, so you can still be OCD. You just have to be, OCD, and also, you have to be like. You have to be compulsively, obsessively compulsive. Yeah.
But in other words, if you have all the silverware mixed together, you want to set the table.
Right.
You're pulling out all, like you say,
pull out the forks, put them, put out the knives. Sure. Right. If it's for now. Right. If it's for now, and everybody's coming, and when we're going to eat right now, then we can do it right now.
So you can't set a Shabbos table, let's say, and then go to Shul.
So you could, as long as there's no act of bar. I mean, it's not like it's usher to set a Shabbos table, but if you have a whole mixture of silverware as a tarovis and you need to separate it in order to set the table, that's where it gets problematic. If you're pulling stuff out of a drawer in the first place and everything's already neatly arranged, it would be fine.
Even if you're like selecting those?
If you're selecting those
from... I'm selecting a challah board.
From?
To put on the table, amongst other things.
So it depends on the arrangement. In all likelihood, if you have like, even, you know, stack a challah board and other things, it's probably not really a tarovis. We're going to discuss this a little bit more in 2 weeks when we get into, okay, so now that we know what we paskin, that even if you're talking about good from good, it's not that the challah board is the only usable serving plate, it's one of many. Is that really a tarovis? What does a tarovis look like? What does a mixture look like? How do we determine if it's a mixture or if things are basically in their place? You open up the refrigerator and it's like a, I don't know what your refrigerators look like. You open up the refrigerator,
you're constantly selecting from everything, your clothes,
yeah.
Toys, like let's say my kids are playing with toys, they're all mixed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a problem? Like,
it's a big problem. They should know discipline. No, is it a problem? It depends on what you're separating for, and we'll probably do a whole thing just on like games
then
and toys.
To play or then to put away, like you're separating. Like,
so it may be depending on whether or not they're indeed in a mixture in the first place. A mess is not a mixture. A bowl of a very tidy looking bowl of jelly beans is a mixture. My den is a mess. It's not a mixture. A mixture can look very neat and very tidy, and some things that look crazed might actually be specifically not a mixture because it just everything's all over the place. But they're distinct and separate from one another. So we'll have to talk about all of that.
So if you take this to the nth degree, let's say you have. A plate of food in front of you. And if we're saying that psoles is objective,
okay.
Right? So someone put, you know, green beans on the plate,
mm-hmm.
and they're covering the potatoes, and I don't like green beans, even though it's for immediate use. I can't push the green beans over.
If you don't let, assuming that that is indeed a tarobes, which I'm not certain that it would be in that case, but let's assume that that's the case, then yes. And yet that, meaning that's saying that, that it's not objective, that it's subjective.
That it's subjective.
Right, that if, right. It's, if it's subjective, then green beans are mixed up. I mean, let's, I have salad on my plate. I have salad on my plate, and I don't like tomatoes. And the tomatoes are covering, and they're tomatoes, and I want to get rid of the tomatoes. So does that mean that I can't just push the tomatoes off the side away from the salad? Absolutely, that's exactly what Boer is, right? That would be a prime example of Boer.
Can I put them on her plate?
Oh, excellent! Yes, I just yeah, we're gonna get there. 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 Yeah, let's move a little bit. Okay. So basically, two more categories. Two more categories. We're on B now. All right. So what about good from good? And then we'll get, you know what? Let's maybe go out of order here at the end because you just asked about it. What about this idea? My psolus is your ochel, right? I mentioned this at the men's shiur that like I don't know if you know if everybody if every like family has one of these. My plate's the garbage disposal. I think that there is a. I said that that I think actually the floor in my dining room is like slanted towards my seat. Everything just rolls naturally, lands on my plate, and it's like. And I found out that there's a certain someone that's actually seeking to undermine my plate. Who has apparently been telling each other, Tati, you'll eat it. It's fine. Just put it on his plate. And like, I come back, you know, I go to like wash my hands, I go to bring something into the kitchen, I come back, like, where'd all this food come from? Who says I like this food? Yeah, and I eat it anyway. Anyway, so yeah, it's like the same thing with the chocolate. You'll get to the chocolates at some point. So what about that? So this can come up in so many different ways. It can come up where you're just, you know, throwing your trash onto somebody else's plate. It can a bit. Sherry, you'll take my tomatoes. Yeah, I know that you will. I know that you know that even though I don't like this, I know that you're going to like this.
I should take it from her, not her give it to me, because I.
That would be wonderful. That would be ideal. That would be great. Is that really necessary? You might be better off with respect to the Hilchos Shabbos. You might be over on Geneva. probably not. We're all friends. It's all good. So is this a problem? So Rav Shlomo Zalman was basically differentiated between the following. I know that I don't like zucchini. I got this wad of zucchini sitting in my seat, but I know my wife likes zucchini. So when I remove it, I'm not so generous, and I'm not so kind, and I'm not so giving. If I like zucchini, let me tell you who would be eating the zucchini. But I don't like the zucchini, so I'm sharing, also known as like dumping or depositing my stuff into somebody else's bowl. Who I know is going to enjoy it, who I know is going to like it. Is that okay? So the answer is yes. If when I pick it up, I am bedavka giving it to somebody else, even though it's true I have an ulterior motive, I stand to, this is all a pretext, I really stand to gain tremendously. This is going to be a much better bowl of soup once I unload that zucchini into somebody else's bowl. Is that mutter? It is mutter. Because effectively when I'm picking it up and depositing it into somebody else's bowl, I'm giving them ochel. I'm removing ochel and depositing ochel in somebody else's bowl, and that's my kavana from the outset when I remove it from my bowl. As much as, let me put it this way, as much as I wouldn't do it if I wanted to eat it, I also wouldn't do it if they didn't want to eat it. So from the very outset, I know that I'm picking up what they will consider ochel and depositing it into their bowl. What about, potatoes in the chunk drives me crazy. So spear... Who wants a potato? Who'll take my potato? Come on. Come on. There's always one at every table. Somebody's going to want the potato. I know. Okay, good. There you go. That's usher. Shlomo Zalman says that's usher. To pick something up out of the ta'aroves that I'm removing because I've labeled it as psoles, even though I've yet to determine that it's even ochel to anybody, even though granted the Rambam, it's all ochel, but I haven't been able to locate or I haven't been able to label anybody as the recipient, and therefore this is actual ochel, that's a problem. That's removing refuse, it's removing garbage, it's removing trash from the Ta'aroves. Can't do that. So you need to know who the recipient is. Truth is, I'm not so clear. I don't know. You know, I walk around with like the, you know, like a bumper sticker on my head that says like family garbage disposal. So maybe it's different. But to presume, probably you'll take it. And that might not be good enough. But to really know that somebody else is going to appreciate this as ochel, so that when I'm removing it from my plate, I know that it's being deposited as ochel. Somebody else's plate, that's really what's required, that's really what's necessary. Let's talk about one more scenario, one more case. What about good from good? Now that we've said that separating good from good is problematic, what about good from good for the same Sa'uda? Good from the same Sa'uda, and this is probably the most, to me this is like the most interesting sort of distinction. I love the chicken, and it's great. I don't like... By the way, none of these, you know, I'm like role playing in all this. I'm not actually as like insane and deranged and, you know, machpid. Like you can, you know, you've sat around my table, you know, I don't, there's chicken in my, I can't, the jelly bellies are all mixed up. I want the chicken, I just don't want it now. Just very particular. I want to have the broth first. It should be clear, it should be golden, it should be liquid. There shouldn't be solid matter floating around in the soup. And then afterwards, you enjoy chicken, fork and knife, like a mensch. A piece of chicken is not something you eat with a spoon. It's barbaric and it's backwards, and I feel like a caveman. You take it out of the soup and you have it later after you're done eating the broth. Mutter or aser? Think it's mutter. Two for mutter? Now everybody chimes. Oh, yeah. Anyone want to say it's usher? Oh, a bunch of Mekilim over here. Come on. We're all the briskers. No, nobody wants to say this is usher. Guess what? Machlokas. Ah. Okay, so maybe mutter, maybe usher. Why would you say mutter?
Good for good.
It's the same suda. Oh, so it's the same suda. It's miyad. Therefore, how can you say that this is an act of borer if really I'm planning on eating? What have I done? I've removed something that was, I mean, it's psoles like right now, but within the next 5 minutes, if I'm going to be eating it, then how do you even call that psoles? So it's actually a machlokas.
But isn't Tosfos' thing that if it's, it doesn't have to be objectively bad, if at this moment you don't want it, it's not psoles.
So if you are very, very strictly wed to Tosfos, that may be where you will end up. And this is the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein. It's not, as far as I know, it's not in any of his tshuvas, but it's brought as a psak in Rav Eider's Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, in which he says that Rav Moshe held that this was problematic. Rav Moshe held that this was usser. According to a very, very strict reading of or strict application of Tosfos, this may well be where you end up. In the moment, when I pull the chicken from the soup, don't tell me about what's going to happen in 5 minutes from now. Don't confuse things. The act is occurring right now. This act, am I removing ochel from psoles or psoles from ochel? If you apply Tosfos and the subjective criteria, subjective barometer to what we consider to be either ochel or psoles, I've just removed psoles from ochel. I want the soup, and I don't want the chicken. So it's got to be usser. It's Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe held that this was an act of borer. Rav Eliashiv held otherwise. Rav Eliashiv held that this was mutter. It's quoted in Ayil Mishulash. That this was mutter. Why? So consider the following. If I'm in the kitchen 20 minutes before the seuda starts, and I'm going to impose my OCD on the rest of the family and all the company as well. Nobody's going to have chicken floating in their soup. Chicken should be eaten separately. It should be on the side. This is the crossing of the streams, and it's mixing things that shouldn't be mixed. It's terrible. Terrible. It's like kilayin, basically. This is effectively an act of shatnez, bringing soup to the table that has the chicken inside of it. We should remove the chicken. If I do it in the kitchen, and I'm pulling out, why am I pulling out the chicken? The chicken should be served Let the chicken be a mensch and let it be served afterwards. So I'm pulling out the chicken in order to create a big serving platter of chicken so that everybody can enjoy afterwards. And I do it in the kitchen 20, 30 minutes before the su'udah starts. This way I can bring in the broth and I can also bring in the chicken. Mutter or usser? Unequivocally mutter. Absolutely mutter. So you're getting a lot coolest tonight. Right? Absolutely mutter. Why is it mutter? Because I removed good from bad. When I took out the chicken, I wanted to have the chicken. I wanted to eat the chicken. I wanted to eat the chicken in a half hour from now. So I wanted to eat the chicken. I wanted to have it later. So that's miyad. It's biyad, and it's ochel mitoch psolas. So you're telling me that if I effectively do the exact same act with the exact same kavana, with the exact same results, pulling chicken out of broth to be able to eat chicken. If it's that I'm going to eat it in 20 minutes from now, it's mutter, but if I'm going to do it in 5 minutes from now, it's usser? How is that? Put it another way. According to Rav Moshe, if I didn't want the broth, if I wanted to just spill the broth out, so that same time frame, I'm pulling out the chicken to eat the chicken in 5 minutes from now, I'm going to set it on my plate, and then I pick up the broth and I'm bringing it into the kitchen just to spill the broth out. If I pour the broth down the drain, mutter or usser? Baltaz, okay, good, fine. Yeah, I'm going to listen to you. You're stealing off your friend's plate. I'm going to take halachic advice from you. Right? Mutter. If I spill it down the drain, it's mutter. If I eat it, it's usser. It's the exact same thing. It's the exact same act. So part of the question, I think, and I didn't see that they don't, there's a very, very pithy little statement. They're not even statements. These are both, you understand, these are both quotes, Shemati Mehagoin, Rav Moshe Feinstein, about this, like Rav Eider, Shemati Mehagoin, Rav Eliashiv, that he passed in this way, very little pithy, I heard this from Rav Eliashiv, without there being any sort of real embellishment about Svara. But here's what it may really boil down to. What is the nature of Miyad? How fundamentally does Miyad interact with this act that I'm doing? Meaning, does Miyad basically set up the parameters by which the act is now defined? Or is Miyad just something that I have to, it's like I got to clinch Miyad. I got to just go down the checklist. If I did it, it might be usser. You're only saving, if you did it Miyad, then it's mutter. If you did Ochel Mitoch Psolos, it's mutter. If you did Biyad, then it's also mutter. If you can tick, 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 then it's going to be mutter. But if any of those check marks aren't checked, so then it's going to be usher. But they're basically all on even keel. That would basically be Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is saying that, yeah, it's true that you can check off miyad. It's for immediate use. You're going to eat the chicken very quickly. Yeah. And it's true that you did a biyad. You did it with your own hand. Or you did it with a handheld fork. So fine. But in the moment, it was ochel mitoch. It was psolos, I'm sorry, mitoch ochel. It was bad from good. It was garbage from the bowl of soup. Well, Yashiv may hold that miyad is fundamentally, that miyad frames the entire act. It's not just another check mark. It's not just another checkbox that you have to tick off, but that it actually creates the parameters for the act in the first place. How do you know if it's an act of borer? The clock starts ticking. You have miyad. How do you define miyad? Samach l'sa'uda. It's, I don't know, you have 20 minutes. You have 20 minutes to prove, whether it sounds like reality, so you have 20 minutes to prove whether or not this is going to be an act of borer or not. The clock starts right now. 20 minutes. 20 minutes are on the clock. Is it going to be borer or is it not going to be borer? So that I have the next 20 minutes to sort of prove my intentions. If I eat it within the next 20 minutes, how can you tell me that it was psolos that I pulled out? The same way that we give you 20 minutes before the su'udah ever starts, the same way that we say as long as it's within some of the su'udah, then you can separate the one item from the other, and you could say, no, this is still going to be like ochel, I'm not just trying to separate, psolos from ochel, it's still going to be something that's eaten, it's just going to be eaten in 20 minutes from now. So if I'm sitting at the table, why would I not be afforded that same luxury? I have the next 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes to prove whether or not this is actually an act of Boer. If within the next 20 minutes you eat this, and by the way, and not just like you eat it like, because it's, now I have to in order to show that it's not, that it wasn't really Boer, but I was planning on eating it, that was my intention, was to eat it within 20 minutes from now, so then that's not psolos, that's ochel. So that's just a little bit of the lundus works for you, good, if not, but effectively this is a this is a machlokas between contemporary poskim. If it's something that can be avoided, then why not? Particularly if you're living in America, we probably fall more under the rubric and authority of Rav Moshe than we do under Rav Eliashiv here. But if it can be avoided, it's probably worth avoiding. How do you avoid it? Make sure that you do it in the kitchen. Make sure that it's separated ahead of time. Make sure that you just don't fish out the chicken along with the soup from the outset. Try to separate it in some way that works a little bit more clearly. But that if in the moment it's really just defined in that one nanosecond. Why did you remove A from B? If you removed A from B, because right now you don't want A. If the act of the retrieval of A was because I don't want A, so you want A now, you don't want A now, doesn't matter that in another environment, if you had done it before, if you had done it in the kitchen, that's irrelevant. This would really be problematic at the actual table. All right, Chevra, thanks for listening. Questions? Questions? Any similar examples? Yeah.
I have a question. What